Dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As I mentioned before the service began on this second Sunday in Advent, our attention is drawn to Christ's second coming, his return. Last week, Jesus came to Jerusalem humble and seated on a donkey. Today, Christ, the Son of Man, comes on a cloud from above with great power and glory. And the powers of the heavens and the foundations of the earth will be utterly shaken. And the wrath of God is revealed against all the wickedness and lawlessness of mankind. But Jesus tells us that when you see all these things happening, stand up straight and lift up your head and look, because your redemption is drawing near. Yeah, that is, your Redeemer is coming. And he is coming in great power and might, and he will call you unto himself, and he will receive you into the reign of God. We could put this into the words of Malachi the prophet, but for you who fear the name, the Lord's name, says the Lord, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. Yes, the Son of Righteousness, the Son of Man, shall rise on that day and come for you with healing in his wings. But Malachi presents us with this idea of fear. The fear of God. What does that mean? Those who fear the Lord, he will come with healing. Maybe one of the things you're thinking about with that word is terror. And maybe you're thinking of an emotion. An emotion that is yucky. And that we all know and feel and experience very well. We all know what fear is when we think of being afraid. Now, Jesus teaches us in our text that he wants us to pray so that we are able to stand before him on that day and to withstand all the things that are coming. And Malachi tells us that part of the picture of this is to have the fear of the Lord, that this is what it means to have the strength to stand before Jesus on that day. So understanding what the fear of the Lord is really important. Well, frankly, I'm not really sure how to describe the thing itself in words. And that's maybe just because of an incapability I have. But I do think it's hard to describe. So let me ask some questions that may get at it. Who is the one you would not want to offend above anything else? Whose friendship and good favor would you not want to lose above all else? To whom do you pay the utmost respect and honor and revere as the most important one in your existence? Whose command and will would you want to obey and follow without hesitation as your inmost desire? Who is the one to whom you look for help in the most deep and ultimate way you could imagine? Who speaks the truth that defines you and your understanding of existence? I mentioned the word terror, and in Bible class we were talking about this at length. And we were talking about how maybe terror of God is a part of this. But we were talking there about the reality that we sinners, as we see God in his unveiled glory and majesty, God is a terror to us. But then we were also talking about, though, how that kind of terror doesn't help us. Because we looked at the people of Israel when they came out of the Red Sea in Egypt and were at the foot of Mount Sinai, in the mountain in Sinai where Moses gave the law, God gave Moses the law. And there was thunders and lightnings and earthquakes, and the mountain was shaking, and there was a cloud of great glory and power when God was descending on the mountain, and the people were terrified. And what did they do? They stood afar off. They didn't want anything to do with that God. So terror, we need to have a respect, a healthy respect, reverence of God and his awesome power and glory, or we don't really grasp God properly. And yet, if the fear of God were only the terror, that kind of terror, then it wouldn't get us anywhere. And so that's why I ask these questions. We want to answer the questions I asked by saying God. God is the one we would not want to offend above all else. God's friendship is the one that we would not want to lose above all else. God is the one to whom we pay the utmost honor and respect and revere as the most important one in all of our existence. God is the one whose command and will we would want to follow and obey without hesitation as our inmost desire. God is the one to whom we would look ultimately for all the help we could get. And God's truth, when God speaks, it is his speaking that defines us in our understanding of existence. In my weak and lame attempt to try to capture the fear of God for you, I think that I hope that helps. But then if we have this fear, then we also realize, don't we, that we don't measure up to it. And so we need something else to have the strength to stand before Christ on that day. Because when he comes in his power and glory, he wants us to meet him there with joy and peace, not with terror. So we need one more thing, and that is faith. Faith that he is the Savior that came first to redeem us as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Faith that when he has spoken to us, your sins are forgiven, he means it. And that on that last day when we are before him in his power and glory, he will not be recounting to us our sins, but receiving us in forgiveness. So we need the fear of God and faith as the strength to stand before him on that day. But how do we get this strength? And the reason why I'm asking that is because earlier in the gospel reading, when Jesus was talking about the catastrophe that's coming upon the earth and God's wrath and judgment at the last day, people are fainting with fear. Their souls are failing, and they are in great distress and perplexity, and they are terrified. What that tells us is that we as human beings do not naturally have the capability to have the strength of fear of God and faith in Christ to be able to stand before him on that day. We do not have the capability for it, naturally. So how do we get it? Well, Paul tells us about this in the epistle reading today. At verse 13 of chapter 15, he says this: "The God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit." You hear that? "So that you may abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit." The word power here at its root can be understood as having an ability or a capability or a capacity. The Holy Spirit has the ability to fear God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, the Holy Spirit is able to work this in you. The spiritual strength that you do not have in yourself, the Holy Spirit has. The ability to manufacture the proper fear of God and that you do not have in yourself, the Holy Spirit has. The power of faith in your Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, you do not have in yourself, but the Holy Spirit has it. And the Holy Spirit works in you the proper fear of God and faith in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit causes you to believe that your sins are forgiven. The Spirit knits your soul to Christ in a way too deep for words, so that when Christ comes in power and glory, you are not meeting a threat, but a friend. The Spirit grounds you and fixes you in peace and joy in Christ. Thus you are enabled, strengthened, and empowered by the Holy Spirit in faith in Jesus to stand before him. And friends, the Spirit will enable you to stand. Our scripture readings speak of a day of great terror and wrath of God, but Jesus is coming in power and glory as your friend. And the Holy Spirit strengthens you in faith in him to know him as your Savior and Redeemer, so that you stand before him that day in peace and joy. And so he will enable you to do so. The Holy Spirit does this work in your soul through the Word of God and the good news of Jesus Christ you hear and receive here today in the spoken word of the gospel and in the sacraments. In these things, the Holy Spirit teaches you that Christ won your forgiveness and has conquered all things for you and is your Redeemer. And he causes you to believe it. And so through the Holy Spirit's work among you and in your heart, he is preparing you to stand on that day unshaken before the Son of Man in peace and joy. God is faithful, and he will do this, as he is doing it now and every day, and he will do it on that day as well. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.